Blog
Sun's on my back, wind's in my ear. I haven't felt this good in years. See all the people in the field all lined up in a row. We got a couple more long hours of work before it's time to go. We're all.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, along with my guest co-host, psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, the clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services. Psychotherapist Hughes Kraft is on vacation, and Mark and I will be boldly going out into the podosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before. Or failing that, hopefully trying to put the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. So today we're very pleased to have as our guest, Dr. Joseph Melnick. But first, let me say hi to my co-host, Dr. Mark Kiefner. Dr. Mark, how are you?
Good, Jim. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. You're a little faint, but if you can speak louder or whatever, that would be good.
Great.
All right, so you're actually calling from home because today's Patriots Day, right?
I'm actually calling from the office because, you know, we're very patriotic, but we're very workaholic also.
I see. Okay. Well, we've got an exciting guest today.
I was looking at Joe's stuff. It looks fascinating.
It is. I've looked at it. We'll talk about that a lot. Let me introduce him. Dr. Joe Melnick, the co-director of the Cape Cod Training Program, for Gestalt, of the Gestalt International Study Center, and the editor of the Gestalt Review. He is an international trainer and lecturer and has been in private practice for a long time, like you and me, Mark. And he is the developer of the brand new DVD program for couples called the Us Factor. Welcome, Joe.
Oh, hi, Jim. Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah. Say hi to Mark, too.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good, how are you?
You guys know each other? You guys know each other, right?
We've met once or twice, but very briefly.
Okay, all right. So, Joe, you've got this really amazing new program. It's quite comprehensive, and it's a DVD program for couples to use on their own, right?
Yep, that's the purpose of it.
Uh-huh. And it's quite well done. Lots of high production values. What was your thinking in developing this?
Well, I've spent practically my entire career training couples therapists, and I think we do a nice job of it. But I wanted to get out into the public, and touch some people that don't enter the therapist room. So even in my private practice, if I see 10, 15 couples a week, that's a lot. So the purpose was to get to people who usually don't even make it into a therapist's office but are still struggling with some issues.
Uh-huh. And what, there's some other programs out there or books and so on. What's unique about this program, do you think?
Well, I think we try to hit upon the way people learn. So we have a workbook with exercises, so people who tend to be more visual can start there. I think we've got four lectures on DVD, and then we have a whole series of me working in a simulated role-playing environment with some professional actors who were given a little bit of a script, and then we sort of threw them in there. In about 2 minutes, it all became very, very real, so that people who have been reviewing the program can't even tell they're actors, because I think at some point very quickly they stopped acting.
Yeah, I watched quite a bit of this, and I couldn't tell either. I thought, are they actors or is this real? I thought it was very very right on in the moment kinds of stuff. So you focus on a lot of different techniques, a lot of different ways to have people really connect and really interact with each other in a productive way, in a solution focused way.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what makes the program unique is then people have what we call observational learning. It's like when you go to a movie sometimes and you see things that really touch your heart or make you become aware of things that you might not normally do if somebody was focusing on you directly. So I think that's part of the power of the program, that people can really see themselves in the couples.
Yeah, Mark, you got some questions?
Well, I do. I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about what are some of the sort of the most common struggles that couples have and ways in which your program might address those.
Well, one of the ways we like to define psychotherapy, I think, in general, is sort of the management of energy.
Huh.
And I think what happens to couples is they come in with strange expectations about what a relationship is, and nobody's ever taught them what a relationship is and how to work on it. So they have very simplistic notions that love is this, or a good relationship is this. And a lot of the work is dealing with those expectations, what we call projections. Another piece of the work is really teaching them how to communicate, how to ask questions, how to receive, you know, how to become a pair.
And I was struck by your sort of observation that people can say anything, but it's really about how they say it.
Right. Yeah. That's sort of our basic gestalt premise. It's not what you eat, it's how you eat. Now, what you eat is important, as we all know. But we pay attention to how people are with each other. So a lot of the techniques and a lot of the skills can be focused on, you know, the basic issues of couples, which typically are sex, money, and kids. You know, 99% of the couples I see, they come in with that as the presenting problem, because in those three issues, you can add in-laws also, I guess. It's in those arenas, in those content issues, is where they overlap in their lives, and they have to learn how to manage the relationship.
How do you help people, or how do you train people? I don't know which is the right word, to change their tone or to change the how they're communicating as opposed to what they're communicating?
The basic premise is to heighten their awareness of what they're doing. What happens to all of us is we develop habits, and most of the time the habits are good. So I think we can all remember when we first began to drive a car. That's a pretty common metaphor. And the excitement of getting behind the wheel and looking for where the ignition is and learning how to turn your head and look at the mirrors. After a while, it becomes a habit. Like, I don't even remember driving to work today.
Right.
So it becomes background. As long as I'm a good driver, that's fine. But the habit can't be so deep that if somebody pulls out in front of me, I have to become aware and learn to do something different. So basically what we do is we have people become aware of how they habitually relate to each other. For example, one person, a common pattern is one person is the initiator and one person is the responder. And that worked well at the beginning, but eventually it becomes a habit. And that's great if it works properly, but for couples to develop, they have to learn new skills. And I think that's what the program does. It helps them become aware. Once you become aware, I think you're open for change. And then we teach them some skills on top of it in terms of how they can change.
You actually,
you know, if there are any therapists listening in, I think this is an excellent adjunct to couples therapy, because it gives people something to be working on and focusing on, and orients them more towards, you know, what they need to do together. And then if they need some help, they can bring it back to couples therapy and practice there. So it's great for people to just do on their own, but I think also it's good to have as an adjunct to couples therapy. So I think it can work great both ways. Because I think, you know, people come in to couples therapy initially with their list of complaints, and one of the first things you have to do is get them off of that and get them into, you know, how to relate to each other in a productive, loving way again, and you know, get off of their focus on these things that have really annoyed them, and I think this can help a lot, get them focused in another direction.
Yeah, I think, you know, two of the basic premises is one is people are very aware of what they do badly, and they often come into a therapist's office and they say, "Tell me what I'm doing wrong." And if you fall into that trap and you tell them what they are doing wrong, they already know it 99% of the time.
Right.
Then they say, "What should we do differently?" And you make a suggestion, and they've already thought of that 99% of the time. And then you're really stuck. What couples rarely know, I believe, is they don't have a sense about what they're doing well. And every couple is always doing something well and also doing something badly. So to focus them on a more positive way of moving forward, I think, is very, very useful. And then the other thing we do is we have them practice outside the office, which is also a dilemma. If you see a couple 1 hour a week, and then you assign them what we call homework, often that doesn't work. And sometimes couples need more than that. So the idea of looking at these DVDs an hour a day or every other day and then talking about it and then going into the workshop really supports them moving into their into looking at their relationship in a deeper, more complex way.
Right. The other thing I think couples come in focused on is what the other person does wrong. And I think, you know, to get them to see that this is an interaction and a relationship, and that, and particularly if you're practicing new skills, you can actually see your other partner succeeding and doing things right and changing. And if you can do that in the moment, I think that can be powerful.
Yeah, that's the excitement. If couples can catch each other doing something right in the moment, and they get the idea that there's no bad guys in this, that they don't get anywhere by helping their partner figure out what's wrong, which is a strategy that some couples use that gets them nowhere. But if they catch their partner doing something right, and even more important, if they catch the two of themselves starting the same old argument, stopping it and say, "Hey, we've done this 1,000 times before. If we keep going, we ain't getting nowhere." And then stopping, and they say, "How can we do it differently?" Once they get that moment of awareness, you feel all the excitement and all the energy, and all of a sudden the relationship isn't something that weighs on you, but something that's a lot of fun.
What are some of the topics that you that you cover in the DVD? It's very extensive. There are like hours of video here.
Yeah.
So it's quite extensive. What are some of the things that you cover in the program?
Well, some of the basic ones are when you go back to energy, that a classic one is that it is too little energy and too little connection. That a lot of people believe that you fall in love and you have all that excitement and the passion, and then that lasts between one night and 9 months or so, and then you move into this routine. And you sort of put up with each other, and the energy goes into raising the kids, which is great. But how do you re-spark the relationship? I mean, there's a lot of research coming out now that I've been reading that you can have that type of passion in long-term relationships that you have in what we call the infatuation stage. The good part about it, if you've been together for a while, is you can have the passion without the obsessive jealousy, which often destroys beginning relationships. So that's one of the issues. How can you reignite a sort of dulled out relationship where people are just putting up with each other because they're committed for very legitimate reasons, kids, religion, because they like their partner? The other side of that is people who are constantly arguing and fighting and don't know how to have a good argument and have closure and learn something from it. So those are the two basic ones. Within that, we have specific content areas, such as sex, money, managing the kids. I know I'm leaving out a bunch. So a couple come in with those types of foci, and we work on that.
Right. When you were talking about the excitement stage, one of my favorite phrases is opposites attract, and then they annoy you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
There are reasons why this relationship feels complementary in the beginning, but then that complementary thing goes away when you lose some of that excitement and energy, and then you start focusing on how this other person irritates me. And if you can get back to seeing what it was about that person that excited you as a compliment to yourself in the beginning, I think that can be very powerful.
Oh yeah, that's sort of a classic one. One of my favorite couples, they talked about what drew them to each other, and she loved his spontaneity, that he would just be very creative in the moment, and he loved her well-groundedness, that she balanced the book. And okay, once they got married, the spontaneity became impulsivity, and the groundedness became sort of an uptight, rigid. So it's the same behaviors that they don't, you know, that attracted to them. Now they just give it a negative label, and you can put it. And it's important because you need spontaneity in a relationship, and you need somebody to make sure that the bills get paid at the end of the month. But you can get pretty frozen around those dynamics.
Yeah, if somebody's carrying all of that, if somebody's carrying all the responsibility, and somebody's carrying all the responsibility, it starts to feel like a burden, and you get further and further out on that teeter-totter trying to balance each other. Oh, he's so, you know, irresponsible. I've got to be so responsible. And you get farther and farther out, and pretty soon, you know, you're not that close anymore. You're kind of yelling at each other over the chasm.
Yeah, and that's where the caricaturing comes in, that nobody's 100% responsible or 100% irresponsible, but we end up labeling those tasks in ways that go on and on and on and lose their meaning, so that everybody has the capacity to be spontaneous. So what happens in the couple is that if the man has the label of spontaneous or impulsive, they ignore the fact when the woman has been spontaneous or impulsive, and the caricaturing starts, and that's a very negative in terms of the long term possibilities of a relationship. Once the caricaturing starts, you know, you're always this way. We hear that one a lot.
Yeah.
Joe, with your program, let's pretend somebody's stuck in that particular spot that you're just talking about. You know, this caricature develops and people are polarized. How would your program address that and help them with that?
Well, usually behind the polarization would be lots of what we call projection, which would be you, you're this way, you're that way. And once that starts, they stop seeing that their partner as a full developing person. So one way is we would heighten the fact that this is how they're communicating with each other, and that's the communication skills, rather than making I statements or asking questions, that they do the you, or they do the yes, but. And then what we help them to do is try to see their partner in a different way and become curious about them. Curiosity is what keeps us alive. So we move them more towards a curious perspective and try to reignite their interest in the other person. And there's practice sessions and lots of exercises that people can do in the workbook. And then again, they can see me working with these couples, and they can just pay attention to that and try some of these things.
There's really an element of mindfulness in this, in the sense that you're observing without judging.
Yeah. The judging is another one of those things that kills a relationship. And mindfulness in the Gestalt perspective, we just call awareness. So it's just becoming aware of what I do. If I become aware of what I'm doing with my hand right now as I'm talking to the two of you, I then have the option and the choice of doing it differently. But if I'm not aware, I don't have that choice. So it's sort of a magical thing, that awareness is what leads to change.
Exactly. Yeah,
one of the things I find when couples come in is that one or sometimes both really act like, you know, interrogators. It's like they're asking lots of questions. But the idea isn't that they're asking out of curiosity. And a word I like is benign curiosity, you know, rather than I'm gonna get you to admit to all of these things, and then I've got you in a corner, and then, you know, I'm going to sentence you, find you guilty. And if you can get back to the place in a relationship where the other person is really interesting to you. This is an amazing other human being, and you, in the beginning, you're so excited to know this other human being and find out all about them. And if you can get back to that kind of curiosity, it can make a huge, huge impact on the relationship.
Oh yeah, yeah. We call those lawyers' questions, Jim. You know,
right.
Why weren't you at the restaurant at 6 o'clock when you promised you would be there?
Yeah, so says, right.
I'm really curious. What happened to you? I was looking forward to seeing you. What went on? And the person might say, "Oh my God, I totally forgot. I'm so sorry." Or I had a flat tire, and who knows what. But all of a sudden, it opens up the conversation versus shutting it down. And couples often get into that place. There's almost a finger pointing behind the question. I think that's what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that thing of you know, why were you late? You lose all of the positive part of, I really wanted you here. It was really important for you to be here, and it meant so much to me, which is a very positive statement. Rather than, you're bad, you did something wrong, you've hurt me, and now I'm going to be very, very angry with you.
Yeah, and part of it, of course, is in the nonverbals or in the tone. So I can say to you, why were you late? Or,
yeah.
Why were you late?
You
respond to both those questions in a very different way.
Right. And it's amazing that people, it takes work and it takes time to really appreciate the difference in those two tones that you just said in your own voice. When I hear you say it, I can really appreciate the difference. But as I say it to somebody else, sometimes it's hard to know, you know, that edge is still in there, even if you try to make it a curious, open-ended statement or open-ended question.
Yeah, we often don't have a great awareness of how we sound to other people, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and that, you know, that gets in sometimes to, you know, how the other person hears it, you know, because of their history and their background of having nobody really being that curious benignly about them, that every question was a loaded question. So
yeah.
you can have a really curious, openly curious question, and the other person still hears it as negative, and you have to work on that part in terms of how's your receiver doing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. That's what makes the work interesting. I never get tired of working with couples. I mean, they just fascinate me. Because once they begin to get it right, I mean, you know, it's so important. Once they get it right, then the relationship blossoms and the family blossoms. It just reaches out into the community.
Mm-hmm. Have you – go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
John, no, you go ahead.
Your website – when I was looking at it, says that, you know, even if you're not, even if both couples are not committed to working through this program, the program can be helpful. And so if you have any thoughts on how one person in a relationship or one person in a marriage might use that program to benefit the marriage?
Well, I think the first thing is that they can use the program to benefit themselves. So as the two of you know, a lot of the skills in this program, you don't just have to use in your relationship with your spouse. You can use it in relationship with your friends and your work partners. So you begin to develop those skills yourself. And one of the basic assumptions is if you're in a system, if you're in a family, if you're in a work group, if I change, then everybody else has to change a little.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I start moving more towards how can I improve myself, how can I be a little bit more skillful, and I become interested in myself rather than looking at what's wrong with my partner or blaming them or how can I change them. Once I shift that stance, then possibilities are opened up. Now, there's no guarantee if it's a couple where they're not interested in each other, that interest will develop. But I think it's a good shot. And hopefully they can get back together and have a lively relationship And you know, we know how high the divorce rate is. If that happens, then they come out of this marriage with some insight and some skills, so that hopefully next time it'll be better. But you know, our primary purpose is not to help people get divorced; it's to help them develop within the relationship.
So, have you had any feedback from the program from people who have been trying it and using it that surprised you?
I haven't heard the bad stuff. I've only heard the good stuff. So let me start with that. But let me tell you.
No, I meant good stuff that would have surprised you, or just anything you had not anticipated or expected.
What surprised us so far is that most of the people buying the program are men.
Oh, interesting.
And we didn't know what would happen, but the expectation, maybe we're being a little sexist, that they would be women.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of lonely men out there who don't know how to connect with their wives. Now, intellectually,
yeah,
I understand that, but they're willing to call and they want to make it different. And I find that interesting and enlightening, and it sort of touches
me. You know, I think
it's
easier for men because there's a way in which they can sort of test this out. They're not going into a therapist's office where they might feel like they're on foreign ground. They can sort of ease their way in, you know, put their toe into this, see what it's like, and see if it's threatening. So I can really appreciate that. I do a lot of online work with e-therapy, and I find there are a lot more men that write in because they're not exposing themselves as much in the beginning. And usually it's a very positive experience with them, and they're quite surprised. And I think maybe the same kind of phenomenon is going on here. You don't have to commit 100% at the beginning, but you know, you can get drawn into it and see that, hey, this really can be something powerful for you and helpful for you.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think another reason is we view this program as the acquisition of skills. So
right.
it's more skill based. We're not telling people you just have to be softer, you know, and
right,
more loving. That doesn't help a lot of people. I think it's true, but ideally we give them the path in terms of how to get there.
Yeah. Well, listen, Joe, we're running out of time, so let's mention the website and anything else you want to mention about that, and then we've got to wrap up, but it's been terrific having you on here. I've seen some of this program. I think it's amazing, and you know, I hope people will be getting this and utilizing this a lot. So it's what's the website?
It's called www.theusfactor.com, I think, and I think the us factor is all in capitals. I'm not sure that matters or not.
It doesn't matter, though.
You can definitely
not
get
technologically savvy, are you, Joe? What, Mark?
No, computers are not my strength.
You can definitely get it by just typing Us Factor into Google.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Joe, thank you.
You're
you
welcome.
Thank you very much.
Take
good
care,
talking
Joe.
To
great to chat with you.
Okay, good talking to the two of you.
All right, bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Mark,
yeah,
that was
fascinating.
Yeah.
Are we on privately?
No.
Don't
say anything.
I should
Okay.
I'm going to turn your mic off, Joe.
I should hang up then. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Mark. Anything before we end? Mark, are you there? Oh, I lost Mark, too. Okay, he hung up, too. So we'll just go out with The Farm Song with Take Me Away by Megan Jo Wilson, so she can take us away.
Well, in the evening we get together, long day at work you leave behind. My bones are aching, your back is tired. So many times, Lord, and you take my hand. Lord. Take me away.